This is a story about a mighty empire. A mighty empire ruled by a noble king. For many years, the people of the empire had lived in peace and prosperity. But far north, in the barren and untamed wastelands beyond the civilized world, a darkness was growing. A fearsome and terrible warlord by the name of Brutus the Merciless had united clans and armies of barbarians, mutants, and savages. It was said that he planned to march this gigantic force south, with the ultimate aim of taking the throne for himself and enslaving the people of the empire. Whispers of fear and uncertainty began to spread throughout the towns and villages of the south. The king pleaded for calm and assured his people that they were not at risk. This empire had stood for a great many thousands of years. They'd seen off countless similar attacks in that time, and this one would be no different, if indeed it came at all. As a precaution, scouts were regularly sent north to investigate and report back on what was going on up there, but none ever returned. That was until one day, on the outskirts of the northernmost town of Clodumaya. This was a rustic town, with a salt-of-the-earth population, hardy and world-weary. Though the people here often complained that they were the forgotten town of the Empire, being way up here in the north, Clodumaya was of great strategic importance. They called it the Gateway to the North because it was wedged in the valley between the mighty peaks of the Storna Mountains. If an attack was to come from the Badlands, the invaders would most likely head straight through Clodumaya on their way into the Imperial Heartlands. The townsfolk were already on edge that fateful day, when a young guard on the town wall spotted a lone figure stumbling down from the pass. It was one of the king's scouts, covered from head to toe in dried blood, having spent time as a guest in one of Brutus the Merciless's torture camps. He had managed to escape and travel homeward to give warning to the people of the Empire and confirm their worst fears. Brutus had forged an unholy alliance with the infamous necromancer Briar, Lord of the Walking Corpses. Also forging part of this alliance was the cold and cruel Beastmaster Alicia, with her hordes of mutant barbarians, trolls, and other savage creatures. They were joined too by the forces of General McGeever, a ruthless and uncompromising champion who led a contingent of battle-hardened mercenaries. The escaped guard told the folks of the Empire that this dark coalition, an army of unprecedented size and strength, would soon begin their descent on the Empire's capital city. As scared as they were, though, the folks of Clodumaya weren't the types to run from danger. A raven was sent to the king himself to tell him of this grave news, and the townfolk agreed that once reinforcements arrived, they'd be on the front line with them. But it wasn't the king's soldiers who first appeared through the guard's looking glass on the southern horizon. It was two men on horseback. They were Bard Leon the Powerful and his faithful scribe Dougal. Bard Leon had come to chronicle the war that would go down in history as the one that changed these lands forever.
Well, here we are, Dougal. Clodumaya. The last town on the northern side of the Empire. And the arena where the first blows of battle will be exchanged. Here, I'll chronicle it all and write the greatest tome the world will ever see.
Aye, so you've been saying for the past 3 weeks, every single day on our journey up here?
Mind you, it's a right fucking shithole, eh?
I'll probably need to get creative when I write a description of the town as it was.
It won't be a great loss to humanity when these ugly bastards are all massacred.
You'll not be writing a very long book if you keep talking that loud. The last chapter's going to be you lying in that heap of dung over there with a pike up your arse.
Nonsense, Dougal. It's a criminal offence to attack one of the king's bards.
I think the king's got bigger things to worry about than hunting down the peasant that knocks your teeth out.
The king needs me more than ever, for without me, his glorious role in this conflict won't be told with the grandeur and craftsmanship that I alone am capable of which I am capable.
Yeah.
Well, if you're such a wordsmith, let's see if you can get us a fair price for a room, a hot meal and some mead in this tavern up here.
A fair shout, dear Dougal. Let's get the horses taken care of at the stable master's, and then the first round is on me.
Meanwhile, way up north, beyond the Badlands, lies the Black Mountain, and perched on top of that mountain, in all its gothic splendour, is Castle Briar, home of the Lord of the Walking Corpses. In a large cathedral-like chamber, a sinister group of figures sit around a huge table, their grim faces dimly lit by torch and candle. And together, they discuss their plans to destroy the Empire and enslave every living soul south of the Storna Peaks.
I must say, Necromancer Briar, this is quite an impressive lair you've got here. A wonderfully dark atmosphere for drawing up our battle plans to butcher the so-called Empire of the South.
Thank you, Lord Brutus. I'm honoured to welcome you into my home.
Oh, you're honoured to welcome him.
And, of course, you, Beastmaster Alicia, and General McGeever.
Alicia is fine. I don't need my full title, thank you very much.
Necromancer, where's your lavvy about, if you didn't mind me asking?
Forgive me, General McGeever. Lavatories are not something I ever got round to having installed. What with it being an HQ of the Undead Hordes and all that.
Aye, I suppose no many of these skeletons ever need a job, eh? Well, I'm fucking envious of them now. I've been touching cloth since I got here. Never thought I'd end up being jealous of the undead, eh?
I could certainly arrange something for you, General.
All right, that's quite enough. We're here to discuss the plans for our glorious victory, not General McGeever's bowel movements.
You talk of us as a collective, Lord Brutus. I have no recollection of agreeing to join with you yet. So what makes you so confident about this glorious victory you're promising?
Beastmaster Alicia.
Alicia is fine.
Alicia, surely you cannot deny that our forces combined would crush any attempts at resistance south of the peaks.
I've no doubt that with my help we could. But what possible reason would I have for dragging my tribes into an alliance with this necromancer and his playthings?
Charming as ever, I see.
Oh, fuck. Oh, sorry. I'm going to have to go and shite in a skull or something. Back in a wee minute, eh?
There's a giant mountain of them downstairs, General. Take your pick. Perhaps there'll be one more in that pile by the end of our little discussion, too.
You dare threaten me, Briar?
All right. That's enough. Now, look, I know you two have a history of territorial conflict, and I understand that there's a lot of bad blood between you, but do you want to spend the rest of your existence fighting over the barren plains of the north when there's more than enough room for us all to rule south of the peaks? Alicia, you accepted my request to come here and meet with us today. That suggests to me that you're more open to the idea of forming the alliance than you're prepared to let on.
Lord Brutus, I might not always agree with you, but I do at least respect you. The reason for my presence here today, however, is not to join with you, but to issue a warning.
A warning? Against what exactly?
Against this creature whose lair we sit in.
Oh, here we go again.
We all know your history, Briar. Before you shacked up here and reinvented yourself as some sort of Duke of the Dead, you were scrubbing floors and washing robes for the mountain mages under the peaks since the era of dragons.
So, I was an apprentice mage under the peaks 1,000 years ago. What's your point?
My point is that you stole a piece of the Great Ring from the mountain mages when you reneged. It's no secret that they loathe you more than anyone else on these lands.
Well, who gives a fuck? They've never been seen above ground since long before I studied there. They don't meddle in surface affairs. They've had plenty of time to take revenge on me, and I've never had so much as a messenger pigeon with a note on its foot telling me what a wanker I am.
Lord Brutus, I believe that if you travel south with this creature, the people of the Empire will enlist the help of the mountain mages to greet you at the first settlement.
That's preposterous. As Necromancer Briar says, the mages don't dabble in surface affairs. They're old enough to have seen 1,000 empires rise and fall above their heads. What makes you think they'll take an interest this time?
Because he stole from them.
Yeah, 1,000 years ago.
That's no time at all to them. Might as well have been this morning.
Even if they'd like to send Necromancer Briar's severed head into the void, I don't believe the peasants down there would have the ability to make contact with the mages. Besides, they're as thick as pig shit. They'll never think of that.
My spies south of the pass tell me that the king himself is on his way to Cludgy Mire to meet with the countess there. The town is built in the gully of the Stawner Peaks. I expect this is the very first plan they'll come up with.
Countess Helena, let me get this fucking straight about your plan. You want to defeat these cunts by throwing a big fucking party for them.
Well, there'll be no need to invade our wine cellar if we just open it up for them, will there, Your Highness?
Your wine cellar? You think they're coming all this way just to get into your wine cellar?
Well, of course. I mean, why else would they be invading us, huh? That's the only good thing we've got round here, I mean, have you seen the state of some of our townsfolk? There honestly is not a full set of teeth between them.
The only reason they're going to march on this place is because it's on their way to the fucking capital. To my fucking throne.
You mean it's not because of the wine?
No. It's got fuck all to do with the wine.
Oh, but we've got some good wine down there, you know. So I've heard...
Aye, well, maybe you better go and enjoy it while you fucking can. Best place for you. Servant Randolph.
Yes, Your Highness?
Send for Paladin Guinevere. Looks like this is going to have to be more than just a flying visit to boost morale around this shit tip.
At once, Your Highness.
Meanwhile, at the Flea's Asshole Tavern, Leon and Dougal arrive downstairs for their breakfast.
Good morning, sir.
And a good morning to you, dearest innkeeper.
Thomas will do, sir. I try not to be completely defined by my job.
Very well, then. Thomas it is.
Sleep well, I trust?
I slept, although, to be honest, I am generally used to more luxurious surroundings. What with me being a bard to King George himself and all that?
I believe what my lord here is trying to ask is if the rat droppings on the pillow are a complimentary extra, or if they'll be charged to our account.
My sincerest apologies. We're simply not used to catering for gentlemen of such stature and importance around here. I'll ensure that from now on, every effort is taken to keep rat droppings from ending up on your pillow. Or in your stew and mead, for that matter.
Excellent. Then there'll be no need to submit a less than favourable review to the quest advisor scribe, Wackett.
Actually, I think he's suggesting in his own snarky way that he's going to...
And speaking of stature and importance... I hear our glorious king arrived in town this morning to meet with Countess Helena.
He did?
Yes. Were you not aware he was headed this way too? Given that you are no doubt such a vital part of his council.
Yes, of course I was party to this information. It merely slipped my mind, for it was a long and tiring journey yesterday. Dougal, let's quickly get our things together and go meet His Majesty.
Before breakfast?
Yes, before breakfast. Come now, quickly.
The fucking mountain mages! Paladin Guinevere, I'll hold my hands out and say you'd usually bang on with war and tactics and that, but you'll never make contact with they cunts, let alone convince them to help us.
With all due respect, Your Majesty, I disagree. We know that the Necromancer Briar has aligned his forces with the Dark Coalition. This would be too big an opportunity for the Mountain Mages to ignore. He'll practically be in their own backyard when they invade.
Alright, fair dues. They might want to chip that smug cunt. But how the fuck do you expect to make it down into the mountains to speak to them? I can't afford to be sending troops away on some quest when they're all needed at the border.
I'll go myself, Your Grace.
Yourself?
If I set off tonight, I believe I can reach and make contact with the mountain mages in a couple of days.
Are you fucking daft? They tunnels are miles deep and full of all sorts of fucking beasties and monsters.
then better to stay low-key and stealthy than lead an entire unit of troops down there. I'll just need a couple of expendable lackeys to carry some supplies for me.
Ah! Your Majesty!
Ow! Straighten up for fuck's sake, Dougal. Look lively.
Well, well, how's it going, lads? You're just in time to play a pivotal role in the historic defence of the realm, aren't they, Paladin Guinevere?
Well, I reckon they chose us to accompany Paladin Guinevere on her quest because of my speechcraft skills. Failure to convince the Mountain Mages to support us in the fight against the Dark Coalition isn't an option after all.
And yet you've only just been made aware of this plan yourself. If it was that obvious to you that we'd all die without the help of those reclusive cunts, I wish you'd said something back in Grumble's Brook. I'd have taken that job wanking horses off at the stud farm instead of fucking following you up here.
Pulling Cuddy's bangers is no job for a scribe of your calibre, Dougal. I told you that at the time, and I stand by my statement.
Well, it's a damn sight better than the fate that awaits us. Whether that's on a failed quest under those mountains, or attempting to report on the fate of this shithole as it's stomped into the ashes by the baddies.
Let's just take things one step at a time, shall we? The bigger picture can seem overwhelming, but our immediate task is nice and simple. Head to Clodgymyre Market and gather some essential supplies for our journey.
Aye, well, here we are at the market square. Some fucking market. There's only one actual stall that I could see.
Really? Where?
Over there, look.
Johann's Emporium. Yeah, well, looks as good a place as any. Let's go and have a word with the cunt.
All right, lads. Johann Haraldsson at your fucking service. What can I do you for?
Good day, Johann. As it happens, we're on official business of
You're looking for some of that brand new snuff, ain't ya? Can't keep up with the demand on this shit. Made from the dandruff scraped from a bull's scrotum, you know. Fucking dynamite.
What?
Yeah, mate. Fucking locals can't get enough of it. You've been in the taverns around here. Bogs are chocker full of cunts doing lines. Mind you, it's totally fucking legal, eh? That's the beauty of it. Pigs can't do shit about it.
Well, actually, we were just looking
here. Here, take a fucking dab, mate. Get around your teeth and gums and that. Tastes like... Well, it tastes like dandruff scraped from a bull's scrotum, but man, what a buzz!
We'll probably pass for now. If you could just hear me
Countess
out for
Helena? She's even had her servants down here buying some. Yeah, making a tidy fucking profit, I am. Plan is to get the fuck out of here before the war starts. Make my way south to the capital. Open a little snuff cafe in an up-and-coming neighborhood, you know? Boom!
Well, it sounds like an excellent plan, but...
Of course, I'll need to make the fucker scalable. There's a shitload more people down in the capital. If there's not enough bulls with dry skin on their bollocks, then I'll need to see if I can use dogs or cats or... Whoa. What the fuck, mate? Put the blade away.
Dougal, what are you doing?
Sorry, I wouldn't normally do this, but... Could you just shut up, please, and tell us what supplies you've got available? Non-bull, scrotum, dandruff, snuff-related supplies, like.
How the fuck can I shut up and talk you through my inventory at the same time, mate? That's fucking stupid. You've not thought this through, have you?
No, that's true. I haven't. Look, can we just start again? What else have you got available in your emporium? We're away on a quest to try and save the realm, so we just need some supplies.
Well, I'm afraid you're out of luck, lads. See, the snuff's been doing so well that I've not really needed to replenish any of my other stock for a while. It's all just gradually run out.
So you've literally nothing for sale other than some flaky ballsack skin.
Let's have a look. No.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, wait, hang on. Yes, here's something.
Watch this. There'll be something really absurd and useless.
Aha! One bottle of brown eye balm.
There we go.
Brown eye balm?
Yeah, you know, for the old witches' trials.
Witches' trials?
Witch... Fucking piles, mate. Bum grapes, jester's balls. It's a lotion for a sore arse. Used to make a living selling this shit before the snuff boom. Always did a good trade on the roads. Fuckers sitting on horses all day in absolute agony, most of them. A drop of this will sort you right out, though.
But we don't actually have piles.
Well, I mean, you never know, though, do you? Might not be the worst thing to have on us. It was a long journey up here, after all.
Exactly, mate. This stuff's like having a fucking wizard in your breeches. A wizard who makes your ass feel fucking brilliant.
Well, that's as interesting a sales pitch as I've ever heard, but I think...
We'll take it.
But...
Come on, Leon, it's better than fucking nothing. We'll have to meet Paladin Guinevere at the armory soon. We can't go back empty-handed.
That's fucking stupid. We don't need it.
would be as well going back empty-handed.
How much is it?
How much? Tell you what, mate, you have it for fucking free, on the house. A gesture of goodwill. You're off to save the realm, after all. Consider this an investment in our future.
Oh, aye, I'm sure this will help us save the bloody...
Thanks very much, Johan. It's appreciated. And, sorry about the whole armed robbery thing.
Don't mention it, mate. Emotions run high in times of strife.
Right, before we head back, I just need to nip round the back of that woodshed for a pish.
All right. Do you want me to hold the bottle whilst you go, then?
But, no, it's fine. I'll keep it on me for now.
All right, fair enough.
Johan, you don't have, like, a cloth, do you? And maybe, like, a mirror?
Use the reflection on your dagger, mate. Just watch to not chop off the old nads by accident. Unless you've got some dandruff on that sack, then I'll happily pay for the remains of it.
As it turns out, poor Paladin Guinevere is a little exasperated at the supplies they've brought along. But time is of the essence, and there's none more to waste. The trio set off later that day, heading for the mountains. They follow a winding trail up onto higher ground, before entering a gaping cave mouth and descending down into the bowels of the earth. After a few hours of uneventful trekking through the cold, dark corridors, Guinevere finally gives in to the complaints of Leon and Dougal and agrees to set up camp for the night. They gather some dried moss and fungus from the cave walls and get a small fire going. This soon boosts the trio's morale, and Leon decides to tell the story of the infamous necromancer Briar. I mean, obviously, Paladin Guinevere knows the story because she literally came up with this plan, but this is vital backstory for you, dear listener. And, well, as Leon's a blowbag who likes the sound of his own voice, it makes sense that he'd be the one to bring you up to speed.
So, as we obviously all know, the Mountain Mages are an ancient race of sorcerers who don't dabble in the petty surface affairs of men. But it wasn't always this way. According to the many books in my collection, the mages used to take in orphaned human kids and train them up as apprentices. This was thousands of years ago, but the last of these known apprentices was a young chap called Lex Briar. The mages took him in after they discovered him living in these very caves. His parents had been killed following a goblin raid on their farm just south of here. Big goblin problem back then. The story goes that Briar showed enormous potential in his studies and within a few years had mastered spells that no mere human had managed before. But humans could only rank so high in the domain of the mages, and Briar was ambitious. He began to lobby the Queen and the High Priestess with plans for ruling the surface as well as the underworld. But the two rulers wouldn't hear it. They talked down to him like a child, and told him that there was nothing the mages needed from the lands above. As the years passed, Briar became more agitated. He was hungry for power, and knew he could never rule the mages themselves. By now, despite his race, Briar was one of the finest sorcerers in the domain. He'd reached a rank that no human had ever risen to. He was one of the Lords of the Ringpiece. You see, the source of the mage's power comes from an ancient sorceress ring. A ring so powerful that it was split into 5 pieces as a safeguard against theft or treachery. Many of the old guard in the domain were outraged when the Queen and High Priestess entrusted a human with one of the ring pieces, especially given Briar's outspoken and ambitious nature. But the leaders believed giving him this title and responsibility would quench his thirsts for power and purpose. They were wrong, of course. Briar was a massive cunt and nicked his ring piece only a few weeks after being assigned it. This was around 1,000 years ago. He fled north to what's now the Badlands, but what was then still part of the Empire. And there, he began to use his power to raise and build an army of the dead. As darkness fell over the north, cities and towns withered and died,
leaving only roaming bands of thugs and beasts. The Empire pulled its border south to the Stonor Peaks, in fear of an invasion from Briar. But that invasion never came. Though Briar's ring piece was still powerful, its power waned in the absence of the others. Instead of a mighty conquest south to the capital, he was reduced to petty territorial squabbles with other rogue generals and despots north of the border. That is, until this very day. Rumours began to travel south of an almighty warlord known as Brutus the Merciless. Brutus was different to the many other northern leaders because he could see the bigger picture. Whilst the hundreds of warbands in the Badlands would go from skirmish to skirmish, Brutus began to convince them to unite, to become one powerful force that could march south on a glorious conquest. Why pick over the bones of the north when there are lands of plenty to the south, he told them. And thus the Dark Coalition was formed, made up of the four most powerful leaders in the north. Brutus himself, the now necromancer Briar, General McGeever, and Beastmaster Alicia. Not the best of pals by all accounts, but Brutus has seemingly been able to just about unite them. For now, anyway. Of course, once the Queen and High Priestess of the Mountain Mages hear that Briar will be marching right past their front door, they'll undoubtedly be very keen to take their ring piece back. And that, my friends, is how we'll play our role in saving the Empire. Friends? Ah, for fuck's sake.
Leon wasn't socially aware enough to realise he'd bored the tits off his companions by telling them a load of stuff they already knew. But he was tired too, and soon joined them in a deep slumber. One thing he hadn't mentioned in his tale, though, was the effect of the mage's magic in the very caves they were travelling through. For when Briar took the fifth ring piece, he upset the equilibrium of those ancient flows. Currents of rogue energy filtered out through the dark, rocky passageways over the next 1,000 years, warping and mutating their once peaceful denizens, turning them into grotesque trolls, ogres, and things much darker.
What the fuck was that?
On your feet, quickly. Dougal, take my bow. Leon, the spear.
Oh, aye, spear. Thanks. Why the fuck does he get the ranged weapon?
There's no time for arguments. Take the spear or face that thing with your bare hands.
Oh, fuck.
Lords preserve us. Look at the size of that cunt.
I can't see it yet.
I don't mean the monster. I mean the stain on your breeches. You've just shit yourself.
Oh, really?
Get ready. Here it comes.
Meanwhile, whilst Paladin Guinevere and her companions prepared to face down a hulking cave beast, the Dark Coalition continued their invasion preparations in the Northern Badlands. The armies of Brutus the Merciless, General McGeever, and Beastmaster Alicia were sprawled out in bustling camps on the plains underneath the eerie silhouette of Castle Briar. Here, barbarians, mutants, renegade knights, and other warriors forged weapons and built giant siege engines.
All right, you maggots. You need more timber over there. And you? Do I need to show you how to use a hammer? I've seen mothers win their babies harder than that.
Beastmaster?
General McGeever?
I've been asked to tell you that Lord Brutus requests your company in his HQ.
Does he now?
Aye.
All right. Well, do me a favour and keep an eye on this mob, then. There's a whip over there if you need it.
Whip? Well, I didn't use a whip, like. I just bash cunts' heads in with my mace.
Fair enough.
No!
What did you do that for?
I told you, I didn't use a whip.
Yeah, but the whip doesn't kill them.
Exactly. Fucking shite weapon.
General McGeever, you do understand the difference between encouraging slaves and killing them, don't you?
Eh?
Never mind. Look, just fuck off somewhere else, eh? I won't be long anyway.
But who's going to keep an eye on these cunts?
Yeah, I think they're suitably motivated by now. I'm sure you'll have slaves of your own to tend to.
Me? Nah. They're all fucking D-Day.
Of course they are.
Alicia, come in, come in.
Your General McGeever's a shining light of intellect, isn't he?
Not the sharpest sword in the armory, is he? But he's loyal enough and a fierce warrior.
Well, give me him against that snake Briar any day of the week. At least McGeever's too stupid to be anything but honest with you.
Ah yes, our friend the necromancer. That's actually the reason I invited you down for a chat.
Oh good. Has there been a change of plan and now we get to go and kill him instead?
Nothing like that, no. I just wanted to firstly thank you for throwing your weight behind the Coalition. I know Briar and yourself have a long history of conflict, and I appreciate you putting that aside to focus on the bigger picture.
Well, I wasn't going to fanny around up here on my own with nobody to kill whilst you lot went and had all the fun, was I? I still think it's a big mistake having Briar in tow, though. As I've said, the Mountain Mages are...
I know, but please, allow me to explain my reasoning.
Bash on.
All right. So, if you take a look at the campaign map, you'll see that our simplest and most direct route into the heart of the Empire is through Clodgemire Pass, in the gully between the east and west Stornet Peaks.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I think it's a bad idea having...
If you'd let me finish. I merely said that it's our simplest and most direct route. Now it's the route I'd like all our living forces to take. But I plan on sending the Necromancer and his forces over the mountains.
Over them?
Indeed. They don't need sleep, or warmth, or food, do they? We could never hope to take that route ourselves without a lot of our people dying, but that isn't a problem for the already dead.
I suppose it isn't.
Of course, the sheer numbers in the Necromancer's army makes up about 80% of our forces. I expect to meet a staunch resistance at the pass, and it's a very narrow area for them to defend. There's a chance we could be held there for some time, unless, of course, we roll over them with brute force. But that would mean taking high casualties, and it's too early in the game for that.
So Briar's army of stiffs will just shamble their way down to the capital ahead of us?
No, they'll cross the mountains and then attack Clodgemire's imperial defence from the rear. At that point, we can move in and clean up.
Okay, that's all fine and well, but how does this take the Mountain Mages out of the equation?
I still don't believe those pig farmers would have the knowledge or ability to reach out to the mages, let alone convince them to help. And if somehow they did, the mages certainly wouldn't appear on the scene until Briar was in the vicinity.
But he will be. Once his forces cross the mountains and attack from the south.
And by then we'll be through and on our way. If the mages somehow launch an attack against Briar, then that's his problem. We move on without him.
You believe we could take the rest of the Empire without his forces?
The bulk of the Empire will be defeated at the pass. They'll put all their eggs in one basket and defend there at all costs. For them, us breaking through and them having to meet us further south isn't an option. At that point, the land is wide open and we can dictate the play.
So you think everywhere south of the pass will be defenseless?
Not defenseless, but if we keep our casualties to an absolute minimum in the pass, we'll have the numerical advantage on the Empire's troops. Even without the Necromancer and his army.
Dougal, shoot the cunt! He's coming right for you!
Aye, hang on. What way does this fucking arrow go in?
Point the sharp end at him and shoot, you idiot!
It's too late. It's on him. It's fucking run right past him.
It's going for our supplies.
Dougal, satchel.
Oh, shit. Look at its ass.
Fuck me, those are the biggest, witch's trials I've ever seen.
I want something off the satchel.
The brown eye balm.
The what?
It wants the brown eye balm for its arse graves. Poor cunt must be in agony. It's okay, Dougal. I think he just wants
you. I don't fucking think so, mate.
For fuck's sake. That was a wee bit harsh, was it not?
We can't just march up here and take our stuff. We paid good money for that.
No, we didn't. It was free.
And this is his home, and he clearly needed it. We don't.
You did the right thing, Dougal. If that ointment had worked, that thing might have got its appetite back.
And if it hadn't worked, then it was a mercy kill. Those were no ordinary piles. The work of dark and twisted magic, I'd say.
The flows of magic have been corrupted here ever since Briar took the ring piece.
Ah, shite. I knew I'd left something out of my story. I suppose I could always start again. Doubt we'll be getting back to sleep after that.
No, let's pack up and keep moving. We've still got a lot of ground to cover.
But it's still dark.
Seriously? You're a fucking moron, like.
It was a joke. It was a joke! Joyless cunt.
And so, the remainder of the trio's journey down to the domain of the Mountain Mages goes relatively unhindered. After another few days of trekking deeper into the bowels of the earth, they finally approach a huge, ornate stone door. None of them really know what to expect at this point, of course. All the focus until now had been on just getting here in one piece. So, here they are, standing here like three Jehovah's Witnesses on their first day of door-chapping duty, when an ethereal voice greets them.
Who approaches? State your name and purpose, please.
I am Bard Leon the Powerful, and
hey,
I
got this.
All right, fine.
I am Paladin Guinevere of the Elite Royal Guard to His Majesty King George, and I bring important, vital news for the Mountain Mages.
I very much doubt that. What exactly is it concerning?
Are you not going to introduce us?
Shut up, you idiot.
Excuse me?
No, not you. Sorry, I was talking to my squire.
Squire?
To whom do I speak? I bring news of your ring piece.
I am Chiora, guardian of the Kingdom of the Mountain Mages. What do you know of our ring piece?
Well, if you'll let me in, I'll tell you. It's gonna take a bit of explaining, and we've come a long way down here to stand on the other side of a big stone door.
Very well. But try anything funny, and we'll have you turned to ashes.
Well, that's encouraging.
Once inside, an armed party of guards escort the trio to meet the guardian Chiora in her physical form. Then, they're led to a giant regal meeting room for an audience with High Priestess Janna of the Mountain Mages.
Your Grace, these humans assure us that the traitorous apprentice Briar will soon be practically walking past their front door. They say he's leading an undead army south as part of some big campaign.
Is that so? Well, in that case, it's about time we took our ring piece back. I will personally accompany these humans back to the surface and pummel that ungrateful little brat into oblivion. All right, I'll just go and prepare my things. You three must be hungry. Guards, take them to the banquet hall and see that they're fed and watered. We'll leave in an hour's time.
Wait, that's it? That's it? That was easy.
Yeah. It was a little too easy.
And so, the trio of Bard Leon, Scribe Dougal, and Paladin Guinevere travelled back to the surface, along with their new, easily recruited ally, High Priestess Janna of the Mountain Mages. Despite their nagging concerns about how straightforward it had all been, there was nothing more to do than take the High Priestess to meet King George in Clodgemire. An alliance was forged between the two forces, and the High Priestess took up residence as a guest of Countess Helena. The town walls were under constant patrol from Empire defences, with all eyes pointed to the north. But still, there was no sign of that massive dark army on the horizon. In the calm before the storm, the High Priestess took the opportunity to put her feet up and enjoy the hospitality of this wine-loving Imperial Countess.
Another top up, hey priestess?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, it's good stuff, this, you know.
Isn't it? I tell you, I've not had a good drink for centuries.
Why not?
Oh, something about the flows of corrupted magic or some bollocks. It just makes it a bit dangerous to put our feet up and have a bottle of wine or six. But, oh, I've missed it.
See, I couldn't imagine going centuries without a drink. Although, there was this one time where the wine cellar key broke in the door and I couldn't get my early morning brandy until late morning. So, I suppose I know what it's like.
Oh, you're having brandy too? I could only see wine in there, not that I'm complaining.
I actually moved all the brandy and spirits to the old gunpowder store under the northern town walls, because the key to the wine cellar is the key's fucked, so it's much safer in there, I reckon.
Well, Countess Helena, I'd just like to say how incredibly generous you've been. I really should have visited the surface long before now.
Indeed, High Priestess, indeed. You know, with all this talk of war and invasions and killing, I just think to myself, can we not all sit down and have a wee drink together?
I know, right? Though I fear Briar and his cronies have their sights set further than the bottom of their next goblet, sadly.
Ah, this Briar. Hmm? You knew him, didn't you? Hmm? So, what's he like?
Oh, that was a long time ago, but between you and I, he was actually quite dishy.
Oh. A wee tap of the nose and we'll say no more about that, eh? But, does that mean... did you ever... You know...
Oh, absolutely. There's not a lot to do under the mountains. We actually have mass orgies every other day, and those tend to spin off into little side projects too, if you catch my drift.
Oh, lordy. Yeah, I'll need to get down for a wee visit myself, huh? Yes, I tried to organise a mass orgy in this place once. Nobody turned up though. Well, except some laddies selling snuff made from the dandruff of a bull's scrotum or something. At least there was plenty wine though.
Well, I'd be honoured to welcome you into our domain. I'm sure the Queen would be happy to repay your kindness after all this is over and the balance of magic has been restored.
Oh, that'd be wonderful, High Priestess. Oh, wonderful.
Countess, High Priestess, King George requests your presence immediately on the wall.
Ah, oh, King George, King Smarge, aye. Can he not see we're having some well-earned downtime, huh?
Well, I don't believe he can, Countess, given that he isn't here in the room with us.
Well, what's so bloody important then?
Yeah, come and have a drink with us, Servant Randolph. Come on. God, turn that Mr. Serious face into Mr. Less Serious or something.
Your Graces, with respect, King George and Paladin Guinevere are organizing our forces to prepare for an attack. The banners of the enemy have been spotted on the horizon. We believe they'll reach the edge of town before sundown.
Bullocks to that. We just opened a new bloody bottle. That's selfish.
No, don't worry, Helena. Stick a spoon in the bottleneck. That'll keep the fizz in. We'll go up. I'll zap them with magic firebolts or something. And we'll be back at our seats before their ashes have settled on the ground.
That sounds like a fine plan to me, High Priestess. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
And so, Countess Helena and the High Priestess stagger their way up to the town walls to meet King George. And, sure enough, they see a colossal army marching south towards them. The army is terrifying. Organized regiments of black-clad knights, hordes of bandits and mutants, giant trolls, ogres and other indescribable horrors moving amongst them. Siege weapons pulled by groups of wretched slaves bring up the rear. One figure on horseback, who looks like some sort of general, bashes one of their heads in as he rides past, before being shouted at by someone who looks like she's in charge of the beasts and mutants. And in the centre, a giant of a man in ebony armour rides a massive, two-headed, two-cocked horse.
Brutus the Merciless.
Ooh, he's a big lad, eh? I like his armour. It's very shiny.
I think he's a fucking hard man, eh? Swaggering down to my empire, looking for a swedge. Well, I'm going to put the head right on him once he's close enough. Hey, you! Send your fucking casuals over here, you big fucking...
It could be the wine, but I can't actually see Necromancer Briar anywhere.
No, you're right. There's no undead at all in these ranks. They've got every other form of hell spawn marching with them, but no walking corpses.
Maybe they can't fill out with them. Herbie's not the best liked, eh?
It's feasible. He does have a bit of a history of betrayal.
Let's hope so. They already outnumber us as it is. It's a good job we're holding this position. We'd be swept away in an open battlefield.
Oh, don't you worry. Once they get a bit closer, I'll just zap them all with lightning magic or some shit, and then we'll all go and have a drink and celebrate.
You're the High Priestess after my own heart. High Priestess. But before too long, the enemy forces began to pull to a halt, still far out of reach of the High Priestess's magic. Tents were erected, fires were built, and no attack on the town walls came that night.
Cunts look like they're getting settled in for the duration. Fucking morning, you cunts!
Maybe they're waiting on the necromancer.
Let's hope not.
The next few days passed without much incident. On occasion, feral-looking groups of barbarian archers on horseback would skirt the walls, sending up volleys of crude arrows. But the only casualties of war seemed to be the dark coalition slaves who were sporadically dropped by the club of General McGeever for no apparent reason. The High Priestess soon grew bored and returned to the court of Countess Helena to work through more of her wine collection. They sat for nearly a week, sinking glasses and deep in slurred conversation. Meanwhile, the guards patrolled the wall, never taking their eyes off the enemy, waiting for the first move. And then, just as Countess Helena staggered towards the cellar door to fetch a new bottle, the warning horns sounded. An attack was finally underway. Thing is, though, even the sozzled Countess could tell that something was wrong here, because the warning horn hadn't come from the north of the town. Clodumire was under attack from the south as well. They were outnumbered, and they were surrounded. All hell broke loose in Clodumire. Nobody had even considered the prospect of being attacked from the south. The whole town had been facing north for weeks. It was only by chance that one of the apprentice watchmen was down under the southern wall getting a blowjob off his girlfriend when he saw an eerie glow on the horizon. After he'd raised the alarm, a portion of the troops were sent down to hastily set up some defences. If they thought the army on the north side was terrifying, they weren't a patch on the shambling hordes of Necromancer Briar. For as far as the eye could see, stumbled half-rotted corpses clutching rusty weapons, mingled in with skeletons animated in some absurd parody of life. It was like every battlefield in the Northern Wastelands had spewed its contents back onto the surface. And now, having made the journey across a terrain that no living army ever could, they shuffled towards the fragile southern defences. But as the row of young guardsmen's eyes widened with horror and knuckles whitened around spear shafts, a figure approached from behind.
It's all right, lads. I'll take care of this one.
One? Are you kidding? There's more of them out there than the eye can count.
They're nothing more than puppets being held together by my ring piece. You can head back to the northern walls.
Yes, granted. Killing the necromancer would destroy his army, but you'll never get anywhere near him.
Yes, I will. Open the gates, please.
You can't be serious.
Open the gates, or he'll have one more corpse to add to his collection. Don't worry, you can close them behind you.
This is insane.
But Servant Randolph did open the gate, and the High Priestess of the Mountain Mages stumbled towards her nemesis and his army. So unsteady on her feet was she, that she actually strolled through the undead horde like she was one of his own troops. Barely a half-rotted head turned to look at her as she approached Briar himself.
Oh, I swear, this new magic has some serious glitches. Get back in line, you worm-brained moron. You're going the wrong way.
Oh, well, that's no way to speak to an old flame, is it?
High Priestess Yana, is that really you?
Yes. And you have been a very naughty boy.
Well, you know, this isn't what it looks like. There's actually a perfectly reasonable explanation for all of this.
Oh, of course there is. Please, indulge me.
All right, okay. Well, there isn't really. I was just after a bit of excitement. I've been extremely bored for the last 1,000 years living up here.
Well, it was your choice to sneak out in the middle of the night, never to be seen again. And you've caused us no end of trouble by taking that ring piece with you. I've a good mind to blast you into oblivion.
I know. Listen, I just didn't want to jeopardise your career. The Queen would have had you sacked if she'd found out about, well, us.
Maybe so. But I told you back then, I was happy for us to go public, whether I lost my job or not. And besides, that doesn't explain your theft, does it?
Well, I just needed some extra magic powers to help me establish a kingdom for myself on the surface. You know how it is.
But now look at what you've become. Marching around with 500,000 walking corpses behind you, teaming up with all sorts of cretins and degenerates. You're better than that.
I've been a bit silly, haven't I?
That's an understatement.
And just seeing you again has made me realise how much I've missed you.
Oh.
Tell you what, just give me a second and I'll turn off the spell that's keeping this army on its feet. We can run off together, let the Empire and the Coalition fight one another all they like.
You would really do that for me?
Of course. Watch me.
Hang on. Wait.
What?
I think I have a better idea.
Meanwhile, on the northern side of the town, the Dark Coalition forces had taken their cue from the southern warning bell and launched their own attack. It seemed that Brutus's plan was being executed to perfection.
Archers, draw! Fire!
All right, Dougal, it's my big moment. Bring one of those torches over here so I can see my quill and parchment.
Are you kidding? You can't sit here on the battlements amongst the biggest siege in history and start writing.
Why not? That's what I'm here for. I'm Bard Leon the Powerful, and I plan to chronicle
the... Yeah, I know, but do you not think we should maybe help or something?
This is helping. A bard's role in war is every bit as important as a king or a general, especially in the many years to follow.
Right, fine. Do what you fucking want.
What the fuck's that they've got? A battering ram?
It's a rock slinger! Everybody, take cover!
All right. It's the War Chronicles, and I'm writing this tome live from the front lines of the Battle of Clodgemire. Dearest reader, you've joined us just as a very big rock is about to land right on our...
The blow from the flying boulder was devastating enough, but as the floor of the wall collapsed, one of the cauldrons of burning oil dropped through, right into the secret brandy stash of Countess Helena. A deadly mix of alcohol, gunpowder, and burning oil combined to blow the entire northern defense line apart in an explosion that could probably be seen and heard way down in the capital itself. As the walls collapsed, the forces of the Dark Coalition poured through the wreckage, swarming into the town and gutting any of the dazed survivors who remained on their feet.
Well, that was fucking easy.
Indeed.
So, we didn't need the necromancer after all. We could have attacked last week and been in the throne room by now.
Yes, hindsight is a wonderful thing, Alicia, but we've no fortune tellers in our party. Besides, Briar has followed his part of the deal. In fact, here he comes from the south now.
Why? Who the fuck's that, William Thor?
That's one of the mountain mages. They're high priestess.
What's she doing here? And why is he walking beside her?
Aye, I thought they didn't like each other.
They don't, General McGeever. That's the point.
Well, let's go and see what they're saying to it, shall we? The town is fallen. If she wants us to beg for Briar's life, they'll both be disappointed. We have little use for him now.
And so, Brutus the Merciless, Beastmaster Alicia, General McGeever, Necromancer Briar, and High Priestess Janna converge in what was once the town square, surrounded on all sides by burning ruins and the corpses of the Imperial Army and townsfolk.
A fine spectacle, friends. Congratulations on your victory.
What exactly do you mean by your victory, Briar? And why is your arch-nemesis standing here with us?
Arch-nemesis?
Explain yourself, Briar. What's going on here?
Ah, yes. Well, I'm afraid there's been a change of plan. Although your victory was most impressive and appears to have been achieved without any need for my services, this will unfortunately be as far south as you'll be travelling. Well, travelling alive, anyway.
I see. So, to translate that to the common tongue, you've allied with the High Priestess here, and now you plan to kill us and our armies before reanimating us all and marching south on the capital as the sole leaders.
Bravo, Brutus! That is exactly what I mean.
I knew it! That traitorous bastard!
I think he plans on betraying us.
Fuck me.
Well, that's a shame, Briar. But to be honest, I planned on killing you once the town fell anyway. There'll be no need for your walking corpses under the banner of our new empire. Prepare to die.
That's cute.
I think she's going to use magic, guys.
Abracadabra, or some shit like that.
Well, that is indeed that, as they say.
That was a little stronger than I intended. All that wine must have interfered with my magic. I think I've destroyed the rest of the town. Oh, well, no matter. Oh, hang on a sec, will you? Are you all right, Countess?
That's my brandy collection. It's all gone. Oh, it's all blown in time, William. Bloody bits. I saw sin. A tragedy.
Oh, I am sorry.
Oh, and everyone from the town's dead too.
Listen, we'll find you more brandy, plenty more. And wine too. We're on our way to ransack and pillage every settlement from here to the capital. You'd be most welcome to join us.
Really? You'd really take me? The drunken old countess.
Of course. I had a great time with you this past week. I'd love to have you along for the ride. And the good thing about this army is none of them need to drink.
Oh, there's plenty for us then, eh? Well, maybe this hadn't been such a bad day after all. I mean, all my friends are dead, but...
That's nothing to get upset about. In fact, Mr. Briar here will have your friends back up on their feet in no time, won't you, dear?
Oh, yes. Yes, I believe I will.
And so, the undead hordes march south, swelling their ranks with every kill, until they reach the barely defended capital with the empty throne. And because every living soul is now dead, there's really nobody else to rule over. It turns out, too, that the king's palace has a pretty impressive wine cellar. So the trio sit down, open a bottle, and celebrate a job well done. The end. This has been a dramatised performance of The Lords of the Ringpiece, written by Matthew McLean and read by Sarah Golding. The Lords of the Ringpiece was originally created as part of Season 2 of A Scottish Podcast, an audio drama about a washed-up radio DJ who reinvents himself as a paranormal investigation podcaster. You'll find A Scottish Podcast along with all the cast credits from this production over at scottishpodcast.com. That's scottishpodcast.com.